Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. Going to be with you for about 58 minutes. Got an interesting guest today, someone I've known for a very long time. He's very active in the community. He did take leave of his census, and he ran for public office, and now he's really out there. No, I kid. His name is Peter White. He's a great guy. He is the current president of the Pittsfield City Council. All my counseling went right out the window, and he took the job. But without further ado, foie gras, soup du jour. Peter, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you doing?
Well, for an old fat bald guy, I'm still here. I count one day at a time as a success. So there you go. Boy, you guys, you took over the helm, you and the new mayor. Golly, as the guy says. What a time. Budget constraints and all kinds of things. But I must tell you, I did watch the meeting the other night, which I tried to do. And I applaud you and the mayor and the council for the mayor presenting his budget.
Yeah.
You know, he knew that budget inside out.
Yeah, he's very involved in it, which previous mayors have been too, but he's really took a lead role in the presentation during the joint school committee and city council meeting, which was, it was nice to see. It was a different style. Normally we hear from Director Kerwood right after the Auditor Scanlon.
Yeah.
I think Mayor Marchetti really just wanted to make sure that, you know, he was there to communicate with us on what was going on.
And, I understand. Listen, I used to be on a fixed income. I'm now on a shrinking income, and I know what it is to pay taxes. But I think what you all are probably needing, or you are looking at, when you cut services, when you cut the budget, you cut services. That's a hard thing to do. And I've made this argument before. Let me make it one more time, and then I'll throw the ball to you. I'm not that far from the Holmes Road Fire Station. I passed my mid-70s, so I'm up in the upper 70s. And my health isn't 100%. And it's really comforting to know that if I go down in my living room or my kitchen or my basement office, in less than 6 minutes, I'll have trained EMTs here. Now, that may not seem like a lot to somebody who's 35 or 25, but we always talk about in Pittsfield, our aging community. Let's take that into account as we look to cut budgets.
Yeah, I'm glad that you bring up that point. I've always talked about it, especially campaign time, that something I'll never compromise on is a budget that closes our fire stations. We need them. You know, we've talked in the past on insurance ratings. We've talked about just having the sense of comfort knowing that you'll have trained EMTs at your door. I've witnessed it myself with my mom. And my family has heart issues. You know, it doesn't even have to be a senior.
Right.
Anyone who needs to call 911 and have immediate services, you know, that golden window, the golden triangle, we get our fire department there usually 3 to 5 minutes before our EMTs.
Exactly.
And that's because of where the fire stations are located. So that's something that I'll never compromise on. And when I'm talking to people, you know, when they don't want their taxes to go up, I don't want my taxes to go up either. City council pays full taxes. You know, there's no break for us on that either. So we don't want to see it go up, but we also don't want to see our city fall behind on services that are needed. And in the discussions I'm having, it's very difficult for anyone to point out something they think we can do without.
Yeah. And you know, another one, and I think you're very aware of this because you've been on the council. You know, I people say, well, the schools are this and the schools are that, and Mercer's over, they're fat, they're blah, 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 blah. Many of the reporting things of the schools that come out of Boston,
Yeah.
Somebody has to do it. They weren't jobs before, but they are jobs now. Here's the other piece, and I thought they did a beautiful job. Mr. Curtis and Dr. Cameron, all of them, but and Miss Benke, I mean, she's like, I wish I could handle my money like she handles our money, but and it is our money. So they are working on different projects to reduce costs, but catch up for the 2 years we've missed with COVID. I think before we throw the baby out with the bathwater, let's make sure that the bathwater is not too cold.
Well, and I think an issue with the bathwater analogy this year is it's also being drained not by us, but by the state and federal governments losing the ESSER funding that has been critical, you know, to help make up for that time lost in education, and not just time, but the form of education, you know, doing education by Zoom, things like this. We know it was going to have effects, and we're still seeing it. But now that with those ESSER funds gone, all of those positions that were ESSER funded are basically eliminated.
Right.
And, you know, because we didn't want to eliminate them, we found them to be highly valuable. The people are very, you know, we're grateful that the people did the jobs and they did wonderful in them, but we just lost the funding source. So now we have to make up that deficit along with, you know, contractual raises to make sure that we can still attract the best and the brightest and to keep the best and the brightest here in our district rather than them going to where they can get a little more money somewhere else.
Yeah. And with the elimination of those positions, and everybody understands if the funding's not there, but somebody's going to have to pick up that load.
Yeah.
Just saying. I'm out like you are. I'm out and about. They make it so simplistic. Just cut a couple cops. Well, we've never been in my recent memory, which is 20 years ago, because my recent memory, I don't remember where the car is. But I don't think, and I can be wrong, but I don't think we have been up to snuff as far as police in several years, up to the mandated numbers.
Yeah, our police do a tremendous job with what they're given. And even trying to get to what was 89, I think now is 87 that we have budgeted for, just with civil service, as you discuss quite often, and the barriers with that, we just cannot get up to that number. And that number really should be between 110 and 120.
Yes, it should.
For a city of our size, based on the number of people who come in during the day. It's not just population who live here, but because we are the county hub, we have so many people come in during the day. We need those added officers. And that's not to over police. That's not to have a police state. That is simply to answer the calls that come in that we've put on the police answering everything.
Yeah. And everybody wants, well, clean up North Street, clean up North Street. Okay. If you listen to a scanner like I do, like a lot of old people do, because we don't have anything else to do. When you listen to the backup and the calls and the backup and the calls, you got cancel here. You've got to go here. This is, you know, a priority. The sergeant comes on, the desk sergeant saying, drop, you know, ones they got to prioritize calls. I listened to it yesterday. I was amazed at the calls. And you're right. I know some people in the PD, some officers may not agree with me, but I will tell you, I think we ought to, several towns and cities, I believe Adams and North Adams one of them has, they've left civil service. With unions today, I don't see the advantage of civil service because, in my opinion, you'll get more protection from union representation than you will from civil service. That's just my opinion. And everybody knows the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, Pittsfield School Committee, the mayor office, Peter Marchetti, or the city council. Well, maybe today, city council president, Peter White. But we have to find it, I guess, too, and you don't have to comment. I'll just make this and turn it over to you. I was kind of shocked that the first thing out of the gate was not trash, not police, not fire, not teachers, was cut the budget 10%. That, and it was a a referendum? I forget.
No, it was Councillor Musso put in a request that we have as close to a level funded budget as possible. And in recent statements, I believe she said, you know, more as an exercise to see where we could get to. I think that throughout the campaign and, you know, even in his inaugural address, Mayor Marchetti said that he was going to be doing that anyway. We yeah. know taxes are an issue. We know we want to try to keep the tax increase to as small amount as possible. However, when he outlined what the cuts would be, you know, having a rotating closure of fire stations, so one fire station closed a week, you know, rotating around the city, you know, losing several key personnel, you know, firefighters, police, to me, that's an unacceptable budget. If you're cutting into bone, yeah, you've gone too far. And that's not to say that I wouldn't love to cut more, you know, and make reductions, but we really need to see how we can get revenues up versus how we can stop paying for what we need, you know, get more opportunities to pay for it. I think it was Councillor Costa during that meeting asked about how much would it cost to take a dollar off the tax rate, be like a $6 billion reduction in the budget. And people would feel that in services across the city. And, you know, we need snow removal. We need salt and sand. We need to fix potholes. We need to fix sidewalks. We need constant upkeep going on.
Yeah.
No frozen on my end.
Yeah. The other thing, too, and I have to say this before I forget, because, you know, in my memory, we owe a lot of gratitude to the men and women, city employees and private contractors, who've tried to keep ahead of these last couple storms, which have been brutal, brutal, brutal storms. And I personally want to thank all of them. And I stopped one guy, Peter, you'll like this. One guy said, oh, you know, the plow drivers, blah, 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 blah. I said, have you ever driven a plow? Well, no. Well, then, you know, I've never flown a jet either, but I've flown in them. But
yeah, I got lunch at Marie's North Street Eatery and Gallery one of these days this past week, Thursday or Friday. And I was out there with a constituent and Commissioner Morales. And before Commissioner Morales came up, we saw some of the city employees just going and plowing the bike lane and the parking lot, and just the precision that they were going through, you know, a pass to clear the bike lane and then coming right up to the curb to clean out basically a wave of slush and water to make sure parking was available. You know, it takes a lot of skill to do those jobs. And also during this last storm, you know, out of the 33 to 35 contractors that we normally have, 13 of them were unavailable to come in.
Yeah.
They've moved on to other jobs. You know, this is April. They may have had their, you know, plows off already. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of the side roads that we got calls about that people thought were being neglected, we were trying to do it with only 19 contractors and the city employees. And if we were to hire enough employees to plow during these big storms to cover every side street, as we would all love to see them done, we would break the budget.
Oh, yeah.
Than anyone thinks it's broken now.
Yeah, you know, the budget, and there's so much going on. And I think you and I know the prior administration, the current administration, they are trying to bring in revenue sources, new or expanding revenue. So, and that's really one of the ways, because When you sit down, and you know far better than I've worked on several budgets, and when you sit down, it's like a linkage, basically. The other piece that no one brought to light is inflation. The gas goes up for you, the gas goes up for the police, the fire, the city.
I saw an interesting meme on one of the social media channels this week that every time you see inflation, replace it with record-breaking profits from the bigger organizations. And to see what's really going on, is it really inflation or is it just corporate greed?
That's what somebody has to sit down and figure out. I'm hoping it isn't, but I'm also not as dumb as I look. I would think with the gas, I would think with the gasoline, that's because we've stopped really drilling and doing all the, but some of the other things, I don't know. Somebody's gonna have to prove it to me. And going back a little bit to the schools, if we're trying to attract new people, new businesses, that's one of the things they look at. What are the schools like?
And that was extremely important in the vote we just took to put forward to approve Superintendent Curtis's statement of interest on a new Crosby or a new school on the Crosby site, with the secondary, having effects on Conti. Having a new education system is going to take quite a while to put into place. However, we took a tour of those buildings not too long ago, the school committee, the city council, and some community members. And I will give all the credit in the world to our maintenance and janitorial staff keeping those buildings up. However, those buildings are tired. They need replacing. Some of the stuff that needs replacing would cost more, far more than building new. So I'm really interested to see when the statement of interest, how it's perceived by school buildings need and authority down in Boston. And then when we do the study, the feasibility study, see what the numbers really look like. But we can't just keep letting things fall apart. We can't let every school district around us outpace us. So we have to look at making improvements if we're going to keep the people that we have properly educated. And the educators do a great job, and I know former counselors that we have high regard for will say they could teach out of a phone booth, but it's a lot easier to have a modern
That's right.
facility that's the proper size, enough teachers to cover the students we have, so they're not needing to have huge class sizes. We need modern facilities, and some of our school buildings were just built at a time when the education, the open classroom concept was just a failed attempt at a new way of doing things. We've gotten better at these things. We listen to better experts, and the methods that are put out there now, while we don't like the fact that we can't have, an auditorium at an elementary school, even though it was built at Crosby as a middle school, junior high, and we can't have the gym sizes that we want. We can still get classroom sizes that are going to meet the needs of our students and the growing population that we'll see in students that has been projected.
Well, I will tell you, in 1963, my good friend, that was PHS. I went there, I think it was for 10th grade, Crosby. And because they were doing something to PHS, I can't remember, it was double session. I don't know. Anyhow, but it's going to be, again, a thought process. Peter, do you have any sense of funding from the state? Is that going to dry up even more? Because I heard a rumor from someone, and I probably shouldn't repeat it, but UMass is having their budget cut so that the money can go to housing, the new people that are coming.
I'm not sure on the UMass issue, but I know that numbers could actually look a little bit better
Oh.
on the school side. I can't break anything yet because we're still waiting to, have all
Okay.
that finalized. But Representative Tricia Farley Bouvier and Mayor Marchetti have been working very diligently with Superintendent Curtis and the school committee and the administration to try to fix some number issues that were happening at DESE. And if they can get these straightened out, we're hoping that the numbers will look better for Pittsfield. And Counselor Ward 7 Counselor Sarah and I and Ward 1 Counselor Kenny Warren were at we're recording this on Sunday. We
Right.
were at the Paul Mark, our senator, had a Beacon Hill in the Berkshire Hills conference yesterday, and we heard some good news from a senator who works on the education committee. And he came up to us to say how hard, he wanted us to know how hard the mayor and Representative Bouvier, Farley Bouvier, have been working for us. And I'm hoping, we see some, fingers crossed, that we see some good things out of that. But they've been doing a lot behind the scenes.
Well, and again, until the it's set in concrete, we can batter it back and forth. But I just I think we are reaping, if I can say this, the experience of a lot of counselors. By the way, we are recording this on Sunday, April, whatever it is. And get 7th, thank you very much. April 7th. I want to thank just for a moment Counselor Persip, Counselor Warren, Counselor Aliza, what's
Alyssa Costa.
Costa, thank you very much.
I think Matt Rinn,
And
potentially.
Matt Wren, they did, and all of the people who had, for whatever reason, showed up in that freezing cold. Tribute to the Vietnam veterans yesterday on Park Square. And Peter, I'm going to charge you to City Council President. I've already spoken to the others. We have to get a sound system. I know you're cutting a budget, but let me know and I'll help you out with it because you
We
got
definitely do.
every outside event. It's like, what? What? And I'm deaf anyhow, so you know.
I know it was a little bit better at the egg scramble than it has been in previous years, so maybe we need to get Maddie Brown and Jim McGrath to talk to Amanda Bates and Jim Clark and veterans to see if we can do some sharing of equipment. And
Yeah.
I know yesterday was extremely hard for all of us. We talked. We had a. We actually had the mayor, counselor, Vice President Persip, and I sat down to make sure that we could cover the events that were happening yesterday, because we wanted to make sure there were counselors at the veterans event and at the Senator Mark's event.
They
And
were there. They were
tough
there, and
deal for that.
Counselor Persip let everybody know that you guys were at other events that you couldn't miss. So,
Yeah, and the mayor had a commitment out of town. So it's, there's a lot going on. Jim Clark and Director Amanda Bates has been sending out more notices, so we do have everything on our calendar. Because sometimes there's a lot of times that we want to be there to honor our veterans and other organizations in the community. We don't always hear about the events.
I
So
know.
I have very much appreciated the communication that Jim Clark started when he was in that position and has continued to help us out in that position. And also when, people come on your show, just to like let us know what's going on in the
Yeah.
community is extremely important. I hear more and more people who try to make judgments based off of one headline they see, but with Pittsfield Community Television, with WTBR, and all the efforts of the volunteers and staff there, you can get the actual what's going on from the people putting it on.
Yeah, I was many years ago. I was asked, why do you have those politicians on all the time? Because I want you to hear it from their lips, not from the guy at the bar, or the guy at the coffee shop, or the woman in a Big Y or whatever. I want you to hear it from them.
And I think, we thank you for all the work you put into this show, but also we come on with you so
Huh?
we can hear what you're hearing from them, and you can ask us the questions to get the real deal.
Yeah, and I got a whole list of them right here, Peter. The but I one of the ones that has really, I think, stirred people up, and I know you guys are working on it. And you, one is the bike lane. Two is that blurb in the Eagle about the budget cuts, and I'm sure they're justifiable and all that, but fire and police have got people really, really turned up, as you probably know. You're hearing it.
Well, right now, to first talk about that, the blurb that was in the Eagle, the article that they did, those would be the cuts that Mayor Marchetti has to make if he went with the level funded budget that councilors, not me, I voted against that because I thought it was too soon. It did turn into a good exercise of just putting it out there of what it would look, but we were presented with three kind of scenarios for the budget that is still being worked on. I couldn't vote for that first version that had all those cuts, and I think most councilors have backed off of their initial vote, according to what I read in the Eagle, and they wouldn't vote for those cuts that went through, but they appreciate the mayor, director of finance Kerwood, and all the other staff who put the time in, the department heads who put in what would the budget look like if it were at the level we were at last year, minus contractual raises. And I think we've seen that it's an unacceptable budget. We have too many priorities that need to be met. And also, spending money in the city is a way of not moving backwards, because the last thing we can afford to do is spin our wheels, because we can lose more money by not taking care of things than by spending, more than what people would like us to spend. I don't want to say it's a little bit. Every dollar a senior, somebody on a fixed income, has to put out is huge.
And no one is saying, go crazy and build new schools and all. But if you can justify and the state's willing to step up to the plate, my father used to have a saying, it's just like throwing good money after bad. We can only keep putting money into Crosby so much longer. Morningside, Westside, the Polish Princess taught when it was Westside, now County, she taught there in the open classroom concept. And boy, that you're right. It was you we couldn't they couldn't wait to do it, but it was an experiment, and you said it, Peter. It was an experiment that a few people thought would work.
Yeah, I went to kindergarten through fifth grade at Morningside, and I did pre-kindergarten at Westside before it turned into County. So I know those open classrooms very well. I also know more frequently going in and reading to students during Read Across America Week that when you're reading in a classroom, you can hear the person in the next classroom who's also reading. And I don't know how much that leads to, having distraction issues, having concentration issues, that carry on later in life.
Well, the other piece too is I love the community school concept, both Morningside and County. That portion of it is wonderful. They're going from 7 in the morning till into the night. The Community Schools Act, absolutely, that portion of it. The design was flawed, but I think the philosophy was terrific.
Philosophy is great. And I believe, and this would be a better question for the school administration and school committee members, but in the information that I've seen, they definitely realize that. And in the new design of Crosby, Conti still could be used in many different ways, depending on how it goes. We rent a lot of properties now. We could take those rental properties, that we're paying out for that we don't own, and put those potentially into Conti, but that'll be up to our elected school committee. And along with all of the budget things we want to see, the city council has line item, like bottom line item, on the schools. We can't say that we want to change this, this, and this, we can say we're going to take $150,000 from you, and then they go and figure out what they're going to do with it. We can make requests how that money goes, but we can't tell a separately elected body how to do their budget.
Yeah,
Only
and
with
I
the
think a
number.
lot of people don't. And again, that's why we do these shows. Thank you for doing that. When we come back from the break, we'll do it again. The school committee, I don't want to say is, well, maybe autonomous is the word, but they do their budget and they present it. And there's only so much the council can basically do, as I understand it.
Yeah, we can definitely touch on even a few other committees and commissions that are
Yeah.
like that when we come back.
All right, we're going to take a break. I'm here with City Council President Peter White. He's been on the council. This isn't his first rodeo. He knows what this is. And these are desperate times. And they're desperate times for a lot of people. Not only the city, but for people living in the city. And they understand that. I believe in my heart they understand it. And we'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. And if you want to do us a favor, write to Spectrum and tell them to put us back down in the lower 13, 14, and 15. How's that? We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Support for closed captioning on PCTV is brought to you by the Feigenbaum Foundation, with additional support from the Pittsfield Commission on Disabilities.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And
all
also,
right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there is not me. His name is Peter White. He is the president of the city council. We started talking about budgets in the first half and all that. And it's understanding the process. And I like to just say this, in most cases, every time you cut deeply, you cut services. And one of the things I want to ask Peter about now, because it's been a bugaboo for a while, and that's trash.
With trash, we need to get off of unlimited curbside. We have to stop having the person who is conscious about recycling and only puts out a very small amount. We have to have them stop subsidizing the people who put out 10, 15 bags a week.
Or a sofa.
And no recycling.
A sofa, a recliner. I drove around just to familiarize myself. Not this week, but last week. And what I saw on curbside, I should have just taken videos. I really should have just taken videos and saying, before you jump on the counselors or jump on the Casella, here's what we are doing, the citizens.
Yeah, and we do have a bulky waste program, so hopefully those sofas, those mattresses have been properly tagged and paid for. I know that's not always the case. They're just dumped places. I also wish that furniture companies had to give you a voucher to get rid of your old when you bought the new. Just build it into the price of new. Do the same thing with TV and electronics, or have them, when we had Best Buy, they took back electronics.
Yes.
We need more commercial places to be conscious about what they're putting out there. We overpackage everything.
Everything.
However, when counselors were down at the Mass Municipal Association annual conference and trade show this past January, most of the companies that we talked to, and I don't have a contract in hand, nothing's been presented to us, but most of those companies that we spoke to are all going towards toters. You know, they call them carts. So, you know, I think that's going to have to be part of the discussion. I know Councillor Persip and at the time President Marchetti, now Mayor Marchetti, we put forward a bag plan. And as soon as we put the pay-as-you-throw bag plan out there, all we were hearing was, you know, toters aren't a bad idea.
Yeah, that's right. And toters are pretty, I don't want to say universally accepted, but they're pretty well accepted. I've seen them all over the country in my travels. And I have to say that I have to give out a shout to Casella. And I've done this on the air before. What a difference. Oh boy, their staff, their drivers, their employees. I can't say enough good about them. So I would hopefully plead with us to keep them.
Well, I know that there will be calls to put it out to bid from councilors. It is one of those areas that you do not have to put out to bid. And I think what we've seen in the past is we put it out. You know, we had a contract with Republic Services, and Republic Services was bought out by Casella because they sold all of their, you know, holdings in this area.
Yeah.
So we can put it out to bid, and we still may only get Casella bidding on it, or we could get somebody who may not have what it takes to do it. You know, I'm pretty confident in the work Casella has done. I've also talked to, you know, our former hauler, Republic Services, and they said if, you know, if they had to put it out, you know, they would be going with the cart toter system as well. So I think that's just going to be something we're going to have to see what is presented to us, what the costs are. But across the country, they're looking at it's an easier way for them to pick up trash, and it doesn't have as many injuries for their employees.
Their workers' comp must be through the ceiling.
Probably drives one of the this change.
Yeah. And I would say, too, that going back to that, because now you're in the driver's seat of the city council, what I heard back then, and I'm sure you heard it, you were on the council, what I heard back then was there wasn't any choice. Now, some of them have passed since then, but we had a couple of old ladies that lived near me, and I'd go out for my morning walk, and they'd have one white trash bag from the kitchen. That was their weekly garbage.
Yeah, and unfortunately, if we go to a toter system, they're going to have to put it in the toter, but hopefully it's a size that is manageable. And
yes.
When we had the debate last time, and I can upset some of my colleagues for this respectively, the city council did not do our own due diligence in pushing back on the administration's plan and really putting the time into changing the administration's plan to make it work for the city. We referred it back to the mayor before we really did the work that we needed to do. And I was against sending it back to the mayor. I wanted to work on it at city council. I've continued to work on it with the ordinance and rules committee through, you know, councilors Morandi, you know, when the three of us put the bag plan together and other plans that have come through, you know, we're consistently looking for something that works. And what it needs to be is not having it be unlimited, but having some different plans built in. If you have a little bit bigger of a family, you might have to, you know, buy an additional toter. Or if you know you're having a big party, maybe rent one or something for, you know, the week of that party. Or, you know, maybe even talk to your neighbors and see if you can spread it out a little bit to make it a little bit more even.
I think you're right. I let me agree 155% with you about what the old negotiations. I mean, in my house, if I have a 90-gallon container, I can't put my car in the garage. That would be good for 2 weeks for us, probably 3 weeks, maybe. So again, telling people, well, you compost, dudes, That's fine if you're 40. If you're 75, we barely can walk. So composting is not. I've said my piece. But
if we're going to move towards composting, which is a valued tool, I would like to see us explore some municipal options for it, pickup of it. You know, we have a couple of companies now that have come into the county that you can sign up, and they'll come and pick up a bucket on like a weekly or bi-weekly basis that you put out to the curb, and they'll pick it up for you. You know, so there are some alternatives, but we need to have some municipal options for people and really just get the word out of what's out there. You know, over packaging is the biggest thing though, because regardless of, you know, composting or anything else, you can't help what the company has, you know, put it in. You know, I try to, you know, if you buy a whole pineapple and cut it up yourself, you don't get any, you know, wasteful packaging. But if you buy it pre-cut up, you get a plastic container, you know, which you can recycle, but it's still, you know, there's still a cost to it. So there's there needs to be work done just on all levels for that to make it fair and equitable.
Well, I will give you once again, I will not you, but I have to other people. I read an article a long time ago about giving up smoking. And one of the most effective means of giving up smoking was teach the children to encourage their parents to give up smoking. And I had a thing way back at the old Taconic saying, when we're going through this, in the grade schools, get, you know, some of these organized banks or, you know, philanthropy, and give stickers or something to kids. Teach them about recycling. Teach them about packaging, what you just said, those kinds of things. Because then they'll tell their parents. For this article I read on smoking many years ago, that's really what a lot of people attribute people giving up smoke. I know I smoked. When my son was born, I mean, I said, I'm going to give up smoking. I gave it up probably 6,000 or 7,000 times in a year. But then when he got old enough, it was just a thing to do.
And I'm sure he really appreciates you doing that. And yeah, I gotta say, you know, congratulations again to you for being Irish Person of the Year. It was great to be there with you and your family to see you get your shillelagh.
Yeah. Somebody asked me just yesterday. I was at a restaurant. I was at the Hot Dog Ranch, one of my favorite hangouts. And I got one of the people that was at that event. Thank you for bringing it up, Peter. Was at that event and said to me, "That's not the cane we gave you." And I said, "I'm not going to take that on a rotten day like today. Are you kidding me? I'm saving that for a special meeting at a city council." Right, you know? Well, have to get somebody's attention.
We'll all be watching you a little closer if you've got that with you.
Yeah. Going back, and again, what do you think? Are you guys, city councilors, I should say, are you looking at, at least studying leaving civil service?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was trying to pull it up earlier. If you see a big flash of light, it's because whenever I change my other screen, the camera unfocuses. But right now we have a city council petition from councilors Warren, Conant, and Cavey. And this will be soon going to the public health and safety committee as soon as I can get a meeting scheduled, that requests the city address severe shortcomings that the city is experiencing with civil service as it relates to police department and fire department. Towards that end, they recommend the following to be considered: remove the police chief from coverage of civil service, remove the fire chief from coverage of civil service, and remove the police department from coverage, and remove the fire department from coverage. Then determine if civil service reform proposals being proposed before the state legislature, including but not limited to House 4921, or any alternatives, will be sufficient to resolve the problems being experienced. And they put that forward. We just need to get it to committee, and we'll be talking about it.
I know that some of the men and women on the department think that We can't leave civil. That's our only protect. No, you're much better protected with the union. When I was on, we didn't have a union. We had an association. But now I just, when I think of the time lapses between hiring the person, it never mind going to the academy, just to get somebody hired is just ridiculous. And they've known, Boston has known about this problem for several years. And they, in my opinion, have turned a blind eye to it. That's just my opinion.
We definitely need Boston to listen to us more. And, you know, we need to work collaboratively with the unions.
Yeah.
To see what we can do that'll make this all work better, because we can't have long gaps of not being able to fill these positions.
And I've heard just within the last couple of weeks ago, yeah, but look at all the money. That, let me tell you, dude, I've worked that. After a while, your family, you're tired. Your family doesn't see you. The money all of a sudden doesn't become a key issue anymore. I remember seeing a plow driver one time in a restaurant, this is 8 or 10 years ago, wicked storms, one right after the other. And I knew him. And I said, hey, how's it going? He said, Bill, I'd give $100 to be able to sleep 8 hours. And I think sometimes in our me world, everything's about me, we forget there are others out there that are really serving us, the Casella people, the other coal, rain, they're out there, cops, firefighters. But I'm glad they're at least looking at it, Peter, because I think it's an alternative. May not be the solution, but it certainly is an alternative.
Yeah, discussions have been ongoing within the administration on this. And this is, you know, Councilor Marfuccio brought it up a few years ago, and it just wasn't the time for the council to take it up. But I believe this one will get the further discussion that it needs. And, you know, going back to, you know, the plow drivers being out, I know some city employees who say, you know, say, no, I had to cancel all my plans with the family because I've got to be sleeping. So I'm ready to be out there for a 12-hour shift.
Yeah. And we want them rested driving a heavy duty plow that weighs several tons.
Yeah, and they take it very seriously, you know, so you see them canceling plans all the time to make sure that they do get that rest they need. And I know the state, you know, we always see these published reports of what our police department personnel are making. However, they don't break it down to, usually they don't break it down enough to show base salary versus them doing road details or right. Mandatory overtime.
Yep.
Because a lot of times when we want to have a third Thursday or now first Fridays, you know, it's not who wants to work it. It's, okay, here's the mandatory list of who's going to be working this. And regardless if they wanted to be out with their family or they didn't want that extra money, they're working those details because we don't have the people to be able to person the shifts. And, you know, it would be like saying, if somebody took my state salary and put my city council on top of it and said, hey, look what he's working. You know, so it's the same as, you know, if they're working the extra details, it's basically doing a second job.
That's what it is, part-time job.
They basically just get paid through their regular employer.
Right.
That gets reimbursed by the company or the, you know, construction or whatever has brought them out to do it.
Yeah, and most of the people that you see doing it are doing it because they're young and they bought a new house, or they're middle-aged and they got kids in college.
Yeah.
I mean, that when I was on, that was my driving points. I also think, too, that, you know, the fire department is near and dear to my heart. My father was on the fire department for 38 years. He retired a lieutenant. And I will tell you that when you see, like the other day, it was such an awful day, and I had the scanner on there being called out for overdoses and falls. And we are very fortunate, in my opinion, And I'll agree that I have a fondness in my heart for firefighters because my father wanted me to be a firefighter. And I said, Dad, there's something wrong with people who go running into a burning building. And he never appreciated it. But
I have tremendous respect for what our fire department does. Oh. All fire department, you know,
yeah.
We're lucky. And it definitely is something that adds to our budget. That we have a full-time paid fire department.
That's
so
right.
We don't have to wait for someone to get out of church. We don't have to wait for someone to leave another job, drive to the station, get suited up. We have people who are dedicated and they're in our stations every day waiting for us to need them. And, you know, when you see them at Big Y with the truck shopping, they're doing that because they have to eat when they're at the station and they have to take the truck out because if they get a call in Big Y, they have to leave the car in place and go to the call. You know, and I think that needs to be put out there. I know you've put it out there before, but it's something that can't be reiterated enough that, you know, they live at the station for days at a time.
Yeah. It gets me angry, Peter, and it really and truly from people who don't understand. And I guess everybody's entitled to their opinion, but some of them should engage their brain before their mouth or the type on the thing. That you're exactly right. They're prepared to respond instantaneously if they need to. And you're right. They live in this. My probably shouldn't say this. I don't mean it might hurt your feelings. But my father was a far better cook than my mother because he cooked in a fire station. But they have to go get the stuff.
Yeah.
I saw that on Facebook. I just said, you know what? I feel badly for people who really don't understand what those jobs are like. You know, I saw the cops on the road detail. He was on his phone. Was he doing the job? Why was he on his phone?
A lot of times when they're on their phone, you know, they could be calling something in that they saw. They don't have a cruiser there that they can leave that detail.
That's right.
They can call someone in and say, hey, you know, that white Ford Bronco just went by. You know, whoever's right up the street, can you check that out? But also one thing I do want to add is, you know, we lost my great uncle, George Johnston, who was with the fire department this year. And, you know, I always appreciate how well he was treated long after he retired, when he would go down and check out the engines and the station. And, you know, just, it's good that like the new people appreciate those who have come before them.
Yeah.
But going back to that understanding piece, one of the reasons I try to be as active as I am out in the community and on social media, even though I'm trying to get it more onto my city council, my Pete White city councilor at large page, is somebody will read something and they just don't understand it because they didn't read the 400 page packet.
Yeah.
Went with it, but we're there to answer questions. One of the most recent questions I got was on the taxi runway. They didn't understand why we needed to run extra space for taxis. And, you know, the person asked a genuine question. I loved it. I put it out there that, you know, it's a 95% reimbursement from the FAA and DOT. The city has to pay the interest if it is actually borrowed, but we put up the $300,000 up front. We get 95% of it paid off. And during that, they weren't thinking taxiing for the planes. They were thinking we were having taxis. Go out. And that's just an honest misunderstanding that somebody who's not reading into these things. And, you know, the amount of time counselors put into reading a packet from the time we get it on Thursday or Friday to be ready for Tuesday. And, you know, now as council president, I usually spend a couple hours on Sunday with the counselor who's going to be making the motions, just so we can talk it over.
Yeah.
And then any other counselors who have questions, to make sure that we understand everything that's coming forward in that rapid firing pace.
Yeah, it's and I applaud what this administration is trying to do as far as education. I know the previous one, Open, be there. The mayor has his own show now. I think that's great. That helped that helped the community. WTBR, we made our bones during COVID. It's an awful thing, but we did not miss a step. We had Gina on and Dr. Colvin, we kept the public. And now I hear, a lot of what you said was wrong. Well, dude, it's 2 years since it's been over. It was cutting edge at the time, and it was, but that's a, I do want to say that you mentioned your uncle. You know, I'm an old guy now, and I went to a funeral service yesterday at 9 o'clock at Sacred Heart Church, and it was for Annette Genovese Fallon, and she was a teacher. I believe I had her and her husband Tom Fallon, who his first years of teaching at North Junior High. And if all I can say is the priest that gave the Father Steve Manasanti gave a wonderful sermon about parents and when they're here. Peter, I will say this, those two people, it's amazing how much I remember about both of them. So may they rest in peace. They were wonderful teachers. And Mr. Fallon used to refer to a few of us as the gangsters. You gangsters sit over there. But in a good-hearted, lighthearted spirit. God rest in peace to the both of you. Peter, I'm always available. And I know I'm a fill-in today, but look at the size of me. I can fill in pretty good. But thank you for all you're doing. I know you personally put hours into this, not just the meetings. I guess thank you is the right word. Right word. Well,
thank you, Bill. I know everyone says this is a thankless job, but we do get thanked often. We do get some people who are very rude, too. You know, I got a message I'll show you sometime when it's just the two of us and there's no one with sensitive ears around.
I get them. I get them. How come you didn't ask him about the pothole on Maplewood Avenue? How come you didn't ask him that? I didn't even know about the pothole.
I got to say, with potholes, the ones that I've been reporting in PittSmart, I've been amazed at how quickly they are trying to get out there to fill them. And some, there was one I was, really ribbing the commissioner on. I wanted it filled faster. He said they're trying to get the state to do that one because it's on a state road.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. I went down the turnpike. I had to go to Boston to the hospital last week. And the turnpike roads are close second to Pittsfield's. Oh. And Boston's roads, they could surpass us on any given day.
When you hit a pothole going 65 miles per hour, it is rough. And I know some of those, I've been on the pike a little too often lately. And when I was in Boston, some of those ones are pretty jagged.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Bill, I don't know if most of the listeners know this, but now on WTBRFM.com, there's also a listen live button. So you can, if you can't get to a radio or watch us on PCTV, I've been using that a lot lately because I like to catch the show in the morning.
Give it to them again, Pete.
It's WTBR. WTBRFM.com.
Yep.
There's a listen button, and I've absolutely been enjoying it. And listening to a lot more WTBR through my phone that way.
Peter White, he is the president of the city council after several years of my counseling, but he just disregarded it and stays in politics and continues to go up. I say that kiddingly. I'm glad you stayed, Pete. I think you bring experience and a calming effect. I think that's one of your attributes. Say hi to your mom for us and for everybody. God bless. And let's put this vitriol away. Let's be kind to each other, really and truly, because at the end, each other, it's all we have. Think about it. Thanks, Pete. God bless.
Thanks, Bill.
Say hi to mom.
I will. Keep on.